Let's commit our time and ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Shall we just pray? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we just come before you at the commencement of our time together, and we pray, Lord, for your presence. Pray, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be amongst us. And Father, we pray for those that are travelling, and this weather is not very good, and we just pray for your journeying mercies. We pray for your blessing and presence in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now we come to our reading this evening, and it's from Colossians chapter 3, commencing at verse 12 and ending at the end of the first verse of chapter 4. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now, last week, Peter gave us the taking off things, and this week we've got to look at the putting on and then applying it to general life. The approach that I've tried to have on this evening is such that within the church, and it was a happy church to begin with, a well-founded church, had a good preacher, and the Lord had blessed them. And then all of a sudden, whether it was from outsiders coming in or insiders getting funny views on spiritual matters, there was disharmony, discord within the fellowship. Now, quite a few of us here have been in places and situations when there's been discord in a fellowship. We've heard that they're called the spoilers, and the people that come in, and sometimes they don't really do it deliberately because they are sincere in what they believe. And yet the bulk of the people don't agree. And so Paul's been telling them to follow Christ, Christ only. Our salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and no other way. We can't attain it by good works. We can't get salvation by being perfect. because no one's perfect. But it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, last week we had all these, the take-offs, things we had to take off. And it was put to death, your members, which are in the earth, or on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. The wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. This is Paul talking to the church. Once you walked, when you lived in these things, you used to walk that way. You used to walk with evil desires. You used to walk with covetousness. Something you wanted, you went and got. You had evil desires. That was the way you were. You had passions. Uncleanness, fornication. Once we all walked that way. And we all walked that way because we were not born again of the Holy Spirit of God. We'd not seen, as I was going to say, the errors of our way. We were walking in sin. And Paul says, the people that still do that, God will judge. Do not lie to one another. You have put off the old man. Things we've put off, the old man. Now we would all claim to be born again Christians. We would all claim to be walking or endeavouring to walk in the Spirit of God. But then we read here in verse 12, it says, therefore, because we've got those other things in perspective and we've taken them off, we're not trying to live as we used to live. We're trying to live, I was going to try, is that the right word? We're endeavouring to live a more godly life. And therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Therefore, what's gone before, because what's gone before, now we are the elect of God, born again, chosen by him to be his children, his servants, drawn together, in this case in Colossae, drawn together in Belvedere. We're there to walk together, live together, worship together, grow in spirituality together. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, fantastic, we're holy and we're beloved. We've just taken off all the unholy things. We're holy and beloved. Put on tender mercies. And I find that the word tender mercies is like the first garment that you would put on, like a vest in the cold morning, something to warm you. Tender mercies. How can I express what tender mercies are? We see a little baby and we go, ah, isn't it lovely? And our expression to that innocent little child is nothing but care, love. We feel tender towards it. We wouldn't want anything to harm it. And we have only nothing but loving, kind and sympathetic thoughts. So we've got to put that sort of attitude on for each of us. We've got to look at each other as an innocent child looking, and we've got to love them and love each other. We're putting on tender mercies. Kindness. Kindness. Having to be kind. Is that your nature? Or is it still the old nature where you're unkind? Something happens and you have to stop and remember, I have to be kind in this situation. I have to be humble. Not humble, humble. I have to remember whose I am and whose that person is. And I'm bringing this in, you've got a situation where someone has come in and tried to accidentally or even deliberately try to upset the fellowship and the way the fellowship has been thinking. It could be, as I said, a genuine thing from someone who has read some scripture and misunderstood it. And as a church, as a fellowship, we've got to come alongside that person and try and, I was going to say, straighten them out. Bring them back, as it were, to the narrow way. Bring them back to the only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saying the other day to Paul, you could come in and say, well, I've been praying to angels. I mean, there's a lot of angels and there's a lot of us, and you know, Jesus gets a bit busy, and you know, so I think it's a good thing. Or someone would say, I've been praying to the Virgin Mary, and she can take my petitions to Jesus because she's his mother, and he's going to listen to his mother, isn't he? Wrong thinking, wrong concept. It's Jesus only. And we have to keep remembering that. When someone else comes up with something which is slightly different, weigh it up against Scripture. But while we're doing that, we have to look at that person with innocence and tenderness and kindness. We have to look at it in a humble situation. We've got to look at it with great mercy. We've then got to bear with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. How big is your debt to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, and even future? It's great. It's ginormous. It's something I can't always comprehend. But as Christ has forgiven me my sin, so I've got to be willing to forgive someone else that may sin against me in that same attitude, that same way. And I'm doing it with tender mercies, with humility, with long-suffering. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The bond. Something which binds. Something that binds. Something that ties down or ties together. Now we're putting on all these good things, all these nice things, and it's not easy by nature because it's not our nature. Our nature is the old nature, and we're struggling with that. We're taking all that old nature off, and we're endeavouring by the grace of God to put the new nature on and to live that way, and we're supposed to wrap it round with love. And Paul in Corinthians wrote this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I have become sounding brass and clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We're supposed to wrap that around ourselves, around our Christianity, around our lives. We have to have a foundation, and it's that which is tied together with love. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Having peace with God is the whole point of the Lord Jesus came. to save us from our sins, that we no longer argue and have any enmity with God. We're not separated from God. We are one with God. We have peace with God. Peace with God the Father through the death and resurrection and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved by grace. We haven't earned it. We accept it. And we then have to share it and live amongst each other. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful that we're letting love rule, letting peace be amongst us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If someone has a problem, we could choose a hymn that could enlighten that person. We could choose a psalm that we could share with that person. We could have a spiritual song that we could share, which would highlight Christ only, that extracts or excludes everything else. So when trouble or a troubler comes, we're firmly grounded. Not tolerant of evil, but we love the sinner, but hate the sin. We're to love each other, work together, strive together. Strive for perfection, but we'll never be that, because we'll always find the flaws. You'll see many flaws in me. I'm sure you do. And we've all got flaws and problems. But we're supposed to bear each other up in love and prayer. And whatever we do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything that we do. Working together. Being together. Worshipping together. One of those wonderful things that when Sunday comes, it's lovely to be able to sit down and join in prayer. It's wonderful to sit and sing the praises of our God. It's wonderful to be able to sit together with people of like mind and hear the word of God preached. And it's great to be able to say amen for many things. And sometimes there are people that will come amongst us that won't think the same way. But how do we treat them? Do we push them away, or do we try to encompass and encourage and bring them to the same, understanding that we have through being gentle and wisdom. So whatever we do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. And the next verse, verse 18. Why they give this to me, I don't know. Wives, submit to your own husband as it is fitting. I talked to Cliff the other day and I said, when I was young, I used to go down to Erith Cinema. It's not there anymore, and on a Friday and Saturday night, they used to have live wrestling. And when I read the word submit, it always puts me in mind of this live wrestling, where these people are struggling together and getting one person down on the ground until he submits to the other. But I'm not sure. I don't think that's what is meant here when it says wives submit. Paul says he often wrestles with Jan. We don't want to go down that road. No, the submission here is one that God created man in his image, and woman was created or taken from man. Now, she wasn't taken from his head to rule over him, and you've heard all this before, and she wasn't taken from his feet to be trampled on by him. She was taken from his side, to be at his side, When you think of it, he was taken from a rib that is near to his heart. And that's what a wife should be, near to her husband's heart, so that they work together as a team. And okay, they might not always see eye to eye, but as Christ is the head of the church, so Christ has put the husband as head of the family. And there are times when it's fitting for the wife always to submit in these things to the husband. Wives, submit to your own husband as it is fitting in the Lord. You wouldn't submit to what Mike lets Rosemary get up to. You wouldn't, John, let Inika get up to. See, so if Inika can't turn to you and say, but Mike lets Rosemary do that, you know, she always wears the flashy shoes. No, John says, no, we have to be more prudent. So she's submitting to her husband. You're working as a unit, a family, together. And all those things that have gone before that we've been putting on, the kindness and the love and the humility, we're dealing with each other in those same respects. We're dealing with each other with humility, love, care, understanding. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Again, cherish them. The bitterness there is just cherish them. Look after them, care for them. And the husband, you're working as a unit. Children. Yes, children. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, that sounds great as it stands. Now, we've all been children, and some of us still are, and we have to submit to our parental care, the care that we're in. And we're given, by this, he's talking to us about something which is natural. The children don't rule the house, I think. But the family and the father and the mother rule the house, care for the house, the family unit. So children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And in the commandments, it's the first command that comes with a promise, because it says, love thy father and thy mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord has given you. It comes with a promise. But then verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Don't put too many burdens upon them. Don't overload them with too many do's and too many don'ts. Because in trying to submit, in trying to be obedient, they could get frustrated and be turned away. We're living as Christians in a Christian community of the church, and we're there to share with our children the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're there to share and to show them that Jesus is the only way, that we depend upon him for everything, nothing else. So wives, come alongside. Husbands, love and cherish. Children, be obedient, don't be rebellious. Although it's pretty easy to be rebellious, but then again, that's old nature. That's old nature. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now we look at business. I mean, bond servant is someone which is bound either by slavery or, in today's thing, you're bound to a job, you're bound to a boss. But it says, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. The job you're given, do it. Not with eye service. It always puts me in mind of a picture of people in the office, and they're all sitting in front of their desks reading the novels they brought to work with them. And the only time they glance at their computers is when they see the boss coming, and they're working. They're giving eye service so that he comes in, or she comes in, and sees the staff working. Yet 2 seconds ago, they weren't. They were doing their own thing. No, we're there to sit and to do and to function and do the job that we're being paid for. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Again, those that are employed and who are Christians put their heart in the job they're doing as to the Lord, for the Lord. And whatever you do, do it with heart, heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We serve Jesus and Jesus only, the Lord Christ, someone who is above all. He is Lord, and he is the Christ, the Holy One of God, God's chosen. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. God doesn't say, well, it's only been a little thing. No, you've done wrong, therefore there will be a punishment for the wrongdoing. But then there's another side to the coin, isn't there? Masters, give your bondservants what is just. Fair day's pay for a fair day's work. We could glance that at, be fair. And that again is saying within work, don't be partial to this person because you like them and you're a little harder on that person because you don't like them, just because of their characters. Be equal. Be equal. Be fair. And these are Christian principles, Christian way of life. We're there to work together. And we do this knowing that you also have a master in heaven. At the beginning of chapter 3, we're told to take these things off. The middle of the chapter, we're told to put the other things on, the kindness and love, bind it all with love, so our attitude for each other is cared for in love. We pass it through the family system, whereby husbands and wives and children, and then from there into the working circle. People that have to work, people that are bosses within work, sharing these things together. Having that attitude of mind, when someone comes in with a wrong thought about how to worship, we're to show them through love, caring, how to look to the scriptures, how to find the answer to what the things that are going wrong for them. We're there to work together as a team, knowing that we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. But it's not easy, because we are still, by nature, living in a body which is governed by this world in many respects. And it's so easy to fly off the handle about something and then have to pull ourselves up short. It's so easy to say the wrong thing. We have to be always conscious of putting on and then acting out, living out the Christian way. And for the brothers and sisters in Colossae at this time, that's what Paul is telling them. Work together, worship together, seek to be together. Our Lord and our God, we give thee praise and thanks, and we hallow your holy name. Lord, we bless you for the grace that you have shown each one of us, that you have drawn us and brought us into the kingdom. We are the elect and made holy in your presence, and we praise you and thank you that we are these things through the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing of ourselves, but all of your free grace towards us. And Lord, we just praise you and worship you for this very fact. And yet, Lord, we look forward, as it were, to the realms of glory when we'll be surrounded by the myriads of other saints, singing your praises and blessing your holy name. Oh Lord God, we just pray now that we may be people who will live to worship you and praise you. We pray, God, that nothing within us would be such that would harm each of us. Lord, we pray that we may be blessed with you. And again, we would ask for a pastor, Lord. We pray that that person of your choice would be on the horizon at some time, and we may be looking beyond, looking to you for that person. Lord, we do just pray now for each family that is represented here. Bless them, and Lord, encourage them. And those that have young children, Lord, and young people, we pray, Lord, that salvation may come to their homes, that they may be born again of the Holy Spirit of our God, and come and join in with us in worship and praise to him. Lord, again, we thank you for the Sunday services and the looking at the little ones that gather. And we do just pray again for salvation to their souls. And again, for every young person that attends each club, regardless of their age. And Lord, would you just pray that again, the Holy Spirit may do a work of grace in their hearts and lives. And Lord, we pray for a really outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may really be alive to the holy things of our God. Lord, would you just pray for them, that we may know that you are amongst us. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship and prayer and praise. And we just now pray that you be with us as we depart this place and go to our homes. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, for his glory's sake. Amen.